There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
It's just like, and that little boy was Theodore Paddles. And
he's
Hello and welcome to The Lore Boys, the only podcast that's written by Sense of Smell. My name is James Miller, and I am joined with...
Already tilted, it's Ethan Palmer.
And...
Pete, I'm just looking to get a high score, honestly.
Nice. Today, if you haven't guessed by the title, the cover art, and our really cool jokes, we're talking about pinball. Pete, I think you had something you wanted to cover first before we get started.
So this really is a shout out to all our wonderful patrons, whom I think I'm going to start giving you, like, listing them in the credits, because a lot of other podcasts do that, but that's a in progress sort of thing. But one of our Patreon benefits in some of the tiers is you can request a shout out on the show, and since you paid for it, we will both do it and give you a receipt. And we do have like a half shout out here just because the timing is just a little bit off on our cycle and we're just not that great at organizing things. But the lovely listener and patron, Nathan Wallerowicz, sorry if I fucked your name up, has asked for a little shout out here. So we're going to give him a half just because of timing. And he says, "Hey guys, Sketchy Jesus from the Discord here. I just started listening to your show a few months ago, and you're by far my favorite podcast to listen to. I think you guys are funny as hell, and I learned a bunch of stuff I wouldn't normally care about or get into, like Warhammer. And honestly, that's my experience as well. Me and my fiance, congratulations, Jasmine's 2-year anniversary is coming up next Wednesday, when your next episode would drop. And it would mean a ton if the to a new preacher of the boys lore if y'all could do an episode on the Feywild of D&D, since we both play a weekly game of D&D and she absolutely loves fairies. I think an episode about the lore of the Feywild, the Unseelie and the Seelie Courts, and even hags and weird monsters that live there could be a really cool episode idea. Anywho, thanks for bringing me the laughs at work and immersing me in all the different worlds y'all dive into. Keep being amazing, guys." So congratulations on the anniversary. That's December 1st, I believe, so congratulations. And sorry this isn't about the Unseelie Fae or whatever.
Maybe one day.
In a way, it is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. We're in Jamie rotation. So, yes for D&D, you got pinball.
I'm sure somewhere in the multiverse, a pinball machine has ended up in the Feywild, you know?
So. Yeah. There's gotta be, like, a D&D pinball machine from, like, 1989 out there. It's probably $15,000, but, you know, maybe you'll be able to afford that one day.
These pinball collectors, I was looking up some of the collections today on like r/pinball, and people have like $70,000 collections, and they like buy the arcade, like, you know, like the black carpet with like the neon swirls on it that like react to the black light that you see in every arcade ever.
Oh yeah.
People do that in their basement, and then it's just like put pinball rows on pinball machines. And
do you think if hotels just had black lights at all times, or I guess motels, would that prevent people from like nutting on the sheets if you knew you'd get caught?
Hell no, dude. I would nut more. Be like, look at this, babe. Fucking glows in the dark. Are you kidding?
Oh, yeah. That's true.
So much cooler.
The penis Picasso over here.
It's like Jackson Pollock, really, would be really more of like a cum shot.
Or an Andy Warhol. He literally jerked off on a canvas once. So.
All right. Well, let's get into pinball.
enough bouncing around other topics, am I right?
Yeah. So pinball, like, it has a really, like, the history starts way back. It started with a mix of a few other games that first were the games that were played outside by rolling balls or stones on grass, like bocce ball or lawn bowls.
bowling.
Yeah.
Lawn bowls.
Lawn bowls.
It was just called bowls. So maybe in like the 17th century, it was called bowls. It became lawn bowling or something like that. I put lawn bowls just because so you know it's on the lawn.
I, because this was a really interesting real life fact to me, I just typed bowls into Google and of course just ended up with ceramic bowls and like dishes basically.
17th century bowls. Oh wait, still bowls. Yes.
You get those like metal singing bowls that you can use in like meditation rituals and shit.
It's just a game where you roll a ball trying to get it in an area or a stone.
It's all just it's just like rock curling. I guess you do use a curling stone, but it's just like it's like lawn curling, basically.
Yep. With no ice. Just a lawn. Yeah. And this kind of evolved into lawn billiards variants, where you would be hitting balls and you add sticks to the equation. So you're now knocking stuff with sticks to land them on targets. Sometimes there's obstacles involved. You put a sand trap or a lake, and this could become...
Medieval mini putt.
Yep.
Yep. Got like a big pope that opens and closes his legs.
you gotta give a quarter every time you want to play though.
Yep. Yeah. This eventually evolved into golf, croquet, and pall mall. And pall mall is like a kind of like an early croquet.
No darts.
Okay. Yeah. And then outside games eventually became indoor games that could be played on a table. So this is when like billiards came up. Or even on the floor of a pub, so shuffleboard, bowling. I'd love to think of bowling without an alley, just on the floor of a pub, and people are like sitting there.
That's a recipe for disaster.
Yep.
I mean, I would love to go to that bar and be at that bar like that.
Yeah.
If that bar existed, I'd be there all the time, man.
You got to keep your feet up on the little, you know, like the bar stools always have that little extra ring that you're supposed to like rest your feet on. You got to keep them up there for safety. You need like stirrups like a horse, because otherwise you're just going to take a bowling ball to the ankle and you're going to be shittered. So you're just going to get taken out.
The alternative is you're sitting perched on your little bar stool with your feet up. The bowling ball comes and just knocks out one of the legs.
Oh, yeah.
You just, like, teeter over, smash your head on a table full of glass. Like,
or land on a pin right directly in the middle of your back. Like,
Yeah.
like folded over it.
Does it count as a strike if you knock the guy's stool out from under him and he crashes into the pins?
This is the 17th century, dude. Whatever you say. If you've got enough power, you could say it, I think so.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it depends if you have a title or not, right?
The local lord loves to come down and bowl with peasants.
Yeah,
it's like elf bowling.
The peasants are the pins, yeah. And now we move on to the late 18th century, and this is when the spring launcher was invented.
See where this is going.
Yep.
So I guess this spring launcher would have been, it makes sense that it was invented independently of pinball, but do you know what the spring launcher was initially invented for?
So first, before the patent happened in France, during the long reign of Louis the 14th, there's a game that basically was table bowling, but pins took too long to reset when they were knocked down, and people like the French were tired of picking them up over and over again, so they just laughed. French.
Why can't I do this? Every time I take a shot, I have to pick up all the pins again. Absolutely ridiculous.
So they just glued them to the table.
Wait, what?
What?
That's it. I'm sick of picking them up. Just glue them down. We're done knocking them over.
I would rather change the rules completely.
And yeah, the rules were completely changed. The new goal was to bounce it off a bunch of pins to land it in a hole somewhere on a board.
Okay. Oh, I see. Well, because like paying your like your like man in court to just like reset the ball takes much less time. Yep. Not that if I was a king, would I be concerned with like the hours that my jester puts in, because it's just like, oh no, like I can't have him work too hard or else the jester union's gonna be on my fucking ass. just get more slaves.
I mean, we know how that worked out for Louis the 14th's grandson, right? Which was the storming of the Bastille and his head ending up in a basket under a guillotine. But Louis the 14th was like the one who kicked off French royal decadence. Like he was the the guy to do that, to be like, I'm going to hire one jester per pin and they're going to pick it up for me. If I don't like it, I'm going to throw a bottle of wine at them.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't want to throw the bottles of wine anymore, so he just loads them into the spring launcher is why I'm understanding.
That's what it was originally invented for. Got
yeah.
It.
You just glue the bottle of wines to the peasants.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this standardized version of the game eventually became known as Bagatelle. So you can kind of rearrange the pins in different... It's probably slots in the board that you could put in, and you bounce the pins off to get into.
Oh, no, now I need to pay a man to unglue all the pins when we need to change the board.
Invent pegs.
Yeah. And then 1750 to 1770, there was a game called Billard Japonais, which is Japanese billiards in French.
Oh, billard japonais?
Yeah. And this was, it's just billard. There's no billiard. It's billard. I don't know if that's French for billiards or what, but
I don't know.
Yeah. This was played in Eastern France and also Southern Germany.
Why is it called Japanese billiards?
It has nothing to do with Japan, but they introduced a spring mechanism. So you don't have to like flick the ball or roll the ball. It has a spring mechanism to shoot the ball. And it was 100 years before Montagu Redgrave's patent for the spring launcher.
I see.
Which is a cool great name. Yeah, I love the name.
Montague Thank you. Redgrave. Jinx.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was now an inclined play field towards the scoring targets. So you use the plunger and then like shoot it like to bounce off the pins to get in the hole.
Okay.
If
you angle it up, you no longer need to pay a guy to reset the ball. It just rolls back to you.
Okay. Yeah. And
put investors out of work.
You can see how this might lead to pinball.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like we're there, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's only 1750 to 1770. So I'm not sure why it was invented, like you asked earlier, but in 1869, spring launchers became mainstream, if you can see.
Okay. Okay, yeah, no, I remember a spring launcher in every home. That was John F. Kennedy's address, right?
It was actually, the patent was called Improvements in Bagatelle, so it was made for Bagatelle. And he kind of just took the idea from Japanese billiards. So British inventor Montagu Redgrave in 1869 settled in the United States and manufactured Bagatelle tables in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Can I jump in for anybody who wants a better picture of Bagatelle? Like, we've all seen one. We've all seen like a very cheap, generic handheld version of one as a kid, where it's like a little plastic toy where you have like a little launcher and you're trying flick things into like little cups that have like numbers on them or something like that is very similar to Bagatelle. It's like that kind of board. It's kind of like an arch shape with these little pins that you try and flick stuff into, basically.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And it's like, it's almost feels more like gambling than like pinball kind of feels skill-based with the flippers, but Bagatelle feels a lot more random where it kind of like plinkos down into the cup and things like that.
Well, depending on how much tension you load into the spring, there's probably a little bit of strategy to it, right?
Very good, Peter. Yeah. That comes up later in a court case in the States.
No fucking way. of course.
Wow, leave it to the Americans to litigate it, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Japanese billiards v. state.
Roe v. Bagatelle. Yeah. Yeah. A hot button issue of the day. Oh my god.
Yeah. So it's now they the patent 115357 improvements in Bagatelle. It just adds a spring launcher for convenience to the game of billiards japonais. And they also shrank the table they shrank the play area to fit a table or a bar. Instead of having to have like a whole dedicated area for it, you could just
maybe one day you'll be able to fit this whole thing in your pocket, he said, probably.
Yeah, the balls became marbles and the wickets became small metal pins. I'm not sure what they used before, if they had rounded stone or something like that, or like pebbles or something in the 1700s.
Eggs. Goose eggs.
You know, it's so decadent
now.
It's funny how like there's like a universal term for like the peg, because I know there's the croquet peg is also called a wicket. or like the field it's played on or something right. like that. Because a sticky wicket is like a real problem. Not just an expression.
Okay. All right.
Like people have dealt with that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so I know it's in cricket. Sorry, I'm just Googling wicket right now.
Wickety
cricket. One of the two sets of three stumps cricket. And two bales at either end of the pitch. I don't know what that means. It's a cricket wicket.
Yeah, the wickets like were probably like it looks like an upside down U that you would like stick into the ground, like something like that. And now they just added pins. Yeah. I'm not sure. But all you need to know is that pins are now metal and the balls are now marbles. And there's a spring launcher. And we're getting closer and closer to pinball here.
Yeah. It's much more pin-wicket at the moment.
We just need flashing lights and some cartoon babe up on the backsplash.
Yeah, you know? Hell yeah.
That's coming in the coming years. but before that, capitalism needs to intervene because 1931, the coin operation is introduced.
Nice.
Yeah. So this led to an early pinball game without flippers in 1932. Manufacturers in the 1930s are producing coin-operated versions of the bagatelles, known as marble games or pin games. It's under glass, and it uses Redgrave's plunger device to propel the ball into the upper play field. So you could go and like get a beer and just like put a couple coins in and like shoot the balls and stuff.
Yeah, I do like to do that.
Yeah. The first guy to make it is David Gottlieb's Baffle Ball. Is like the first like real hit. Like this is the like Pac-Man or whatever of the era.
I was gonna say it sounds like an NES game.
Richard Gottlieb's Baffle Ball.
Yeah, exactly. Nintendo seal of approval. Picture of just like a really bad picture of just like some happy looking white dude pointing at like a distant speedboat, because obviously the cover on a Nintendo game has nothing to do with the actual game anymore.
It's big Lee Carvello's putting challenge. Energy,
exactly.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So you could buy one of these things for $17.50 in the 1930s.
What's that now? That sounds like a lot.
$300?
To play the game, it cost a single penny, and you would get 5 to 7 balls back. So you need someone to play 1,750 times before paying off your machine.
Yeah. Adjusted for inflation, $17 is approximately $257.
Okay.
That's not so bad.
No,
it's not
so bad. A pinball machine nowadays, I looked it up because I was like, what if I got one for my apartment? That could be fun. And they're like $800 like minimum, and they go much higher than that.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. I did Google a Dungeons & Dragons one and posted it in the Discord for just these guys, but we could masks off for a second. That one said about $2,000 to $3,000, but that's because like $2,000 were only made in like the 1980s or whatever. Okay, so they're collector's items at this point.
Yeah, there's a big market for that. People pay crazy amounts for their niche pinball machines.
Do you have anything about like what they look like on the inside? Because I've seen pictures of like the guts of a pinball machine.
I didn't look into that at all.
I'll wait because I've seen it. It's insane.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like kind of talk a little bit about like when they add electricity to it soon and like kind of what that means, but I'm not sure what it looks like at all. So in the 1930s, like this game resonated with people wanting cheap entertainment because it's only a penny. In the Great Depression era economy. You could go to drugstores and taverns in the US and they had pinball machines. Since most would earn back the cost of buying the game eventually. It's like you just need 1,750 plays or pennies to get back.
Yeah. Like God willing, this depression keeps going on. I haven't paid off my my baguette machine. Ball table yet or whatever the fuck it's called.
Baffle ball, yeah.
Baffle ball, yeah, exactly. Mr. Cricket's baffle ball is still just like burning a hole in my pocket.
God damn you, Dick Goodell.
It's David Gottlieb.
Dave Gottlieb, yeah.
And actually now there's two different ways to like play pinball through your computer. There's Pinball Arcade, which is like reproducing old pinball machines down to every single sound bite, every single bumper, everything is like to be exactly how they used to be. And you can get all these like Gottlieb's sets. Like I was looking on Steam and there's like 5 different packs of Gottlieb's that you can get. So you can actually play these old things.
Is it like a train simulator where there's like $9,000 of DLC for
it? It wasn't that bad. There was like six DLCs and they were all like under $10 each.
You're telling me people are less fanatic about pinball machines than they are about trains? And tractors?
I guess so, yeah. I think it's easier to have a collection of real pinball machines in your basement than a real collection of trains.
That's so fair. That is fair.
Well, okay. Yeah. Shut my mouth.
When you put it like that, I guess. Sure.
When is EA Games or EA Sports, like Dave Gottlieb, it's just like, oh, did you buy the new Gottlieb this year? It's like, no, it's just the Switch port's just a copy of last year's Gottlieb, but they updated the costumes.
I love the idea of going down into a basement, you like open through a brick door, and it's got all those like neon carpets and just like a giant caboose of a train.
The train.
This is my collection.
Yeah.
Baffle Ball sold over 50,000 units in the Great Depression, so did pretty well. Gottlieb.
You know, the children don't only have stale bread, but we'll make do. I need my Dave Gottlieb machine.
Yeah, this is part of the reason why America didn't like pinball so much, and we'll find out more about that later. But So 1933, electrification and active bumpers are introduced. So now we're not just bouncing off metal wickets.
Nice.
They added electricity to the games. Pacific Amusements in Los Angeles, California produced Contact in 1933, and it had an electric-powered mechanism to propel the ball out of a bonus hole in the middle. I looked it up, and it has something to do with like magnets. So like as it falls in, it like activates an electricity thing, which magnetizes and shoots it out.
So it's like a Gauss, right? It's like a Gauss rail?
I'm not exactly sure how it worked. I took out the like, I changed my wording to be easier than what it read in the wiki because it can.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What was that like point around Saturn we talked about in System Shock that just like incomprehensible physics like mumbo jumbo?
Lagrange 6 or whatever.
Yeah, the L6 point around Saturn. Man.
I do like that you explained it as magnets because that's like the meme. Explanation for something sciencey that I don't understand. Like,
yeah,
he always does a bit on it where he's like, "It's just magnets." You know?
Yeah. They also added a bell to reward the player that was electric activated.
Oh, and it worked for Pavlov's dogs, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Exactly. And electric lights. They added the lights and bells were designed to keep the player playing.
Well, that's what the Supreme Court case that we were talking about earlier was about, is like whether dogs are allowed to play pinball.
By the end of 1932, there was 150 companies manufacturing pinball machines, most of them out of Chicago. Chicago has been the center of pinball machines forever since. Like, still Chicago's got a big pinball scene.
Yeah. Okay. What an honor to be the city of pinballs.
Yep.
Huh? Yeah. It's more interesting than their big chrome bean.
True. I've been there and I've seen it. It's not very interesting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I had one of my old bosses was just like, "Yeah, I went to Chicago just by myself for it at one point." And I was like, "Oh yeah, how was he?" He's like, "It was fine. I saw the bean." It was like when I went to Missouri, I saw the big arch or whatever that's in St. Louis, and I was like, "Turn the plane around." You can see it from here. Never mind. No need to land.
Yeah, competition was really strong, and by 1934, only 14 companies were remaining. There was a time in history when there was only one company left. I'm not sure exactly when. It was probably near the end of World War II, but there's only one company left, and it was out of Chicago. So there's been a lot of like booms and also a lot of lows for the pinball.
A lot of pinball world. Casualties.
Yeah. It might have actually been in the mid-80s, but we'll see. We'll see as we go on.
You know, 80% of penny pinball machine companies fail in the first 3 months. So you need like a Gordon Ramsay-esque figure for like pinball nightmares.
Pinball nightmares. Yeah. The balls aren't perfectly round. He's just like, the bowl, it's not round. It's like clacking around. It's like a dice.
No, where I come from, where I grew up, nobody had round pinballs, okay? This is how my customers like it. Thank you very much.
The bells are ringing every time they lose. Now they're trained to lose and stop playing. What is going on? Yeah, so during World War II, a lot of the major manufacturers of coin-operated games changed their factories to be for the war effort rather than making pinball machines.
Well, that spring is pretty good inside a gun.
I was just going to say, put that spring launcher into somebody's hands with one of those metal balls and send them to the front lines.
Yep. Every time.
That's in front you go, Johnny.
Every time you nail a German, your gun lights up and bells ring and stuff. Yeah.
Well, it does the real, like, you know, when you're playing Call of Duty 2 and you get a headshot and it gives you that satisfying ding.
Ding? Of course. Of course, yes. So yeah, at the end of the war, a generation of Americans looked for amusement in bars and malt shops, and pinball saw another golden age. Improvements such as the tilt mechanism and free games known as replays appeared.
Question here: What is with the correlation between like complete unrest and turmoil in the United States and somehow the rise of pinball? It's like why is this the vampire's game?
At the end of the war.
That's what I mean. Like during the Depression, and like as they were coming out, like people needed something, so they had pinball. And like now you're coming back from fighting the fucking Nazis, and all of a sudden pinball sees another boom. It's like truly an evil game.
Oh, it is. Yeah, and America sees it as an evil game. As like after I get through the history of like up till almost now, we're gonna get into why America hates pinball.
Are you going to talk about the tilt mechanism?
I was, yeah. So the tilt mechanism, especially since there was no flippers up until now, there's a technique called nudging. So it was actually part of the game to kind of like smack the table in certain ways. And really skillful players could hit the table at the right time to manipulate the way the ball was moving to get closer to their goal. But probably because they had to fix machines so often and people were just like picking them up and doing crazy shit, they added the tilt mechanism. Yeah. So like one example of the tilt mechanism is like there's a circle with like, I don't know, like a sensor on all sides of the circle and then like a ball in the middle, and it's kind of meant to stay level. And if you tilted too much, the ball would hit one of the sensors. And
it's
a gyro,
basically.
Yeah, right? It shuts like down all the lights. Level.
Like a Greek sandwich? I don't understand.
Yeah.
Gyro.
it's a
gyro. If we wrap up some chicken and pork and just put it inside the machine, people will stop punching.
It's true.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you think about it, like how you lose is like the ball falls down the middle of the flippers, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like you're looking at a surface that's sloping up in front of you. If you just pick up the front, you can make that like completely level so the ball will never fall towards you.
Yeah.
And you'd never lose, essentially.
Yeah. And like part of like there is a lot of like repairs that you have to do on these machines, especially when people are doing all this stuff. So it's taken away from your $17.50 that you put into it. You have to put more money into it. And
I was just thinking, it's like a casino. You have like the goons come by and check on a guy. It's like, hey man, that penny's been lasting you quite a while. We just checking in.
Yeah, the tilt mechanism. It still allows you to nudge, so if you're doing a little bang here and there, that's fine. That's still part of the game. But if you go too far, then all the lights turn off and everything just kind of falls. It falls right through, and you don't get any bonus points or anything.
Your flippers stop working, or your paddle.
Flippers are going to be introduced soon, but that definitely happens for the flippers. Like as of now, there's still no flippers. It's still just
No flippers. Damn, I don't know when my brain inserted flippers without you saying. I'm amazed that
I did the same thing.
I'm amazed that the tilt mechanism preceded flippers, but I guess that would make sense why people were nudging a lot more back in the day, because you had literally or almost literally no control other than like Pete said, the tensile strength of the spring.
Yeah.
Well, at the arcade, it's like one of those like part of this is a very Canadian reference. We have these things on CBC like part of our heritage where it's just like it's like very low budget theater kid like thing that was invented in Canada or like event in Canada. And I'm trying to imagine just like, hey, Teddy, get over here. And he's just like, what's going on? It's like, we can't seem to figure out like how to control the ball so good. We keep punching the box. It's just like, and that little boy was Theodore Paddles. And he's he goes on
flippers.
To invent it.
Yeah. You got John small flippers. Hands. Stick your small hands into the machine and bat the ball when it starts falling down.
That little boy was John Paddles. And he decided to find a machine to do it for him.
Yeah.
Part of our heritage.
Actually, the next step will be introducing flippers, but I think it's a perfect time to take a little break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
And welcome back from the break. We'll get right back into it. So where we left off is now 1947. When the flippers were introduced. And no, not that fun-loving dolphin that everybody knows about. It's the flippers that you know, like you press on both sides and these little things flip the ball back up. So all of a sudden, the game has a skill aspect to it, other than the how hard you spring the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think Polygon in 1947 was bitching about the introduction of, like, flippers because their journalists couldn't figure it out.
They couldn't read the tutorial.
You had like some like newspaper that's the 1947 version of YouTube, which guy like just like guys writing articles like making fun of those people. you have those videos now.
The first game to do it was called Humpty Dumpty. I think I put a photo of it, but I can't remember. It added the skill aspect of the game. There's three flippers on either side, bottom, middle, and near the top. Or I don't think I put a photo of that one, actually.
No, you've got two that are just pin-up girls. Very good choice.
Nice.
The sideways one that I can't see, and then you've got the Laurel and Hardy one.
Okay, no. I think it's a bit later. I think Triple Action was the one that I did post, and that's the next game that came out, and it was the one that had just the two flippers rather than the six, and it was near the bottom of the playfield. But the reason I put the photo is because unlike the modern machines where the flippers... faced outwards, where you like kind of flip them towards the middle, or sorry, inwards. The flippers faced outwards, so there was a middle part that, if you just got it there, it would go in like no matter what. So the flippers were there, but it's not like the ball would always go towards the flippers. They were like kind of near the edges and facing outwards. If that makes sense.
It's like this is just like an interesting like concept in my head of like. I don't know if it's ergonomics or whatever, of just like the pinball machine in my head is so simple, right? It is just a rectangle with some bumpers in the inside and little flaps that like knock a ball around. Yeah. And it took people over 300 years to put the paddles in the middle.
Yeah. It's only in 1950, Gottlieb's Just 21, which I did put there, is the first game to feature... the familiar dual inwards facing flipper.
Okay. So they took him out of retirement to center the flippers.
One last job.
Yeah. They're still pretty far apart. Like now when you play pinball, like it's maybe like a ball and a half width between the two pin flippers. So it is possible that it just falls right down the middle. But if you're skillful enough, it won't happen.
Windows XP pinball has a dead zone in the middle that your paddles can't touch.
Space Cadet, was it? It was really fun, that game. Yeah, I played a lot of that.
Hang on.
Yeah. While Pete's doing his thing, I'll mention if you do really like pinball, but you don't want like the super realistic thing in Pinball Arcade, Pinball XS, I believe it's called, is just they dive into simulations as much as you can. So things that are not possible on a normal board, they'll do it for... What did Pete just do?
I could tell that he didn't realize that you were soldering on, so I server muted him. So he came to explain. I think his cat got caught up in a plastic bag, maybe.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to keep talking. If you want to play Pinball XS, That is like the super simulated, like stuff that can only happen on PC. Is Pinball XS, I believe it is. Pinball X something. I didn't write it down.
Pinballs X nuts. Pinball D's nuts.
Yeah. So yeah, in 1950, Gottlieb's Just 21 was the first game to feature the familiar dual-wheeled inward-facing flipper. They're far apart, though, so it's still pretty tough. Then Spot Bowler, which I think I did post. That's the one with, like, Strike on it and stuff like that. That is in October 1950.
And oh, yeah.
Really starts to look like today's pinball machines.
Yeah.
They're pretty close together, the flippers, so it's a lot more skill-based, and there's something called, like, I forget what it's called, but you hold up your flipper so the ball sticks in, like, the little crevice, so you can kind of reset and then let it slide down your flipper and, like, press it at the right time, just basically to always have a proper setup so the ball never fall right down in the middle.
I used to do that shit all the time in Space Cadet. I would just call it stalling, basically. Yeah. And then, yeah, because depending on where it got down the length of the paddle, it would change its angle. So you could, like, aim, in quotes, sort of.
Yeah, and it's a lot more reliable than, like, Bagatelle, where you're just kind of letting it go down the Plinko machine.
Not as accurate as throwing a bowling ball through a room of drunk people, though.
No.
I'm still, if I have to choose one of these, I'm choosing that one.
Yeah. Honestly, we should start that up again. Open up a bar in Montreal where you just you sign a waiver, you go in, wear some boots.
Hey there, welcome to the rolled ankle. What can I get you?
A great name for a pub too. Like no matter what. I mean, you can still do that in Montreal if you just never salted the sidewalk in the winter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the post-war era was dominated by Gottlieb, and his games are still in circulation today. If you're a real big pinball collector, you might have a Gottlieb in your basement.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not, and I don't. I do have a train caboose, though. I'm trying to figure out how to get rid of this thing.
The house must have been built around it, honestly.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how they got... Because we tried picking it up and, like, turning it, but I don't know. There's no way we could seem to rotate it to get it around the corner in the stairs, you know?
Yep. So now in the 1970s, solid-state electronics and digital displays are introduced. So this is when we start to see a lot more of the modern pinball machines that you see today.
Yeah.
I gotta be honest, I don't see a lot of pinball machines these days.
No, there was one in the arena in Vanclykill where we used to
there was go. Yeah, that's been my frame of reference this entire time, and I don't remember what the theme was. Do you?
I remember a lot of red and black colors, and it had like one of those like little rails that it would loop around, so you could go, if you hit the right angle, it would like go on like a little roller coaster rail and loop around and fall down in a little hole.
Cool.
That sounds familiar. I'm trying to think if it was...
Bar. Oh, sorry.
I was trying to think if it was like a Harley Davidson one or like something like that. I don't know.
I want to say Spider something, but I really can't remember.
Spider Solitaire. It's named after Spider the other Windows XP game. There's a great bar in Montreal on Saint-Laurent, if anybody's ever in town, or for you guys, if you haven't been. It's North Star, which has a bunch of like retro-ass arcade machines, which is... I love it.
I've heard of that,
Never been.
So there's now microprocessors. It's in the realm of electronic gaming. There's electromechanical relays, scoring reels. Those were replaced with circuit boards and digital displays. So the first pinball machine using a microprocessor was Flicker, which I did post a picture of, and it's a prototype made by Bally in 1974.
Okay.
Oh wow, that's way older than I had assumed.
Yeah. And this is kind of around the time that video games are kind of starting to take off, too. So in the late 70s, like think of 1978's Space Invaders, 1979's Asteroids, 1980's Pac-Man, 1981's Galaga. This was the beginning of the end for pinball's boom.
Hey, whoa, we just had a pandemic, and if doom upon all mankind has shown me anything, is that pinball comes back, baby. So once we're, I see a bright future ahead in the next few years for pinball.
You're right. The thing with video games is they don't need to be repaired as much as something that encourages you to nudge and tilt it and has a lot more moving parts in it. So they were also more popular, so they made more money. So video games just cost less and made more money. So pinball arcades started to turn into video game arcades.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. But...
yeah, and kids, I mean, they were the hot new thing in a lot of ways, right? Like, I'm sure a lot of kids were going crazy for Street Fighter instead of pinball. You know what I mean? Like, even if there was a pinball machine in the arcade, I'm sure most arcades had them. I don't think there was a big line for pinball.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Unless you're deaf, dumb, and blind.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. He does play a mean one.
Yeah. So the video game crash of 1983 made the manufacturers refocus on pinball sales. So there are more computing resources. So there's like full-on light shows, like full albums of music, more bells and buzzers than ever. That said, it didn't last long, and most pinball manufacturers were going out of business as video games became popular again.
I mean, they bankrupted themselves buying that song from The Who. You know, Magic Bus.
Magic Bus, of course.
Yeah.
Meaty Beaty, Big and Bouncy. That was one of the albums. That's a fun one.
Could be.
Yeah. Video games killed the pinball star or something like that.
Yeah.
that crossed my mind while you were speaking, too. And I was just like, nah, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to cut him off for that.
But that pretty much covers the history of pinball. Like, it has come back. The ones that are made now have, like, they have to be more creative than ever just to keep up with video games. But that's pretty much how, from, like, lawn bowling all the way to pinball as we know it, how it happened. But did you guys know about that time that USA had a pinball prohibition?
No.
Man, the friggin' Puritans, man. They sure do love just banning shit.
Nancy Reagan. Hands on.
Oh, my God.
I read about this and I was like laughing out loud, dude. It's just so silly that they would go to such lengths to get rid of pinball.
Now, is there a first lady or like someone from the White House involved? Because I know like Nancy Reagan was a big one to make fun of. Tipper Gore, who I don't know if that is like Al Gore's wife. I know like Warrant has an entire song called Ode to Tipper Gore where they just splice together all of the swears from like the entire Cherry Pie album, basically. It's just like the whole thing.
I'm trying to
Some
find
busybody.
I'm trying to find it in my notes, but there is a president who gets accused of being part of a pinball ring.
Okay, what's our time period here?
So yes, it started. The ban began in the early 1940s until 1976 in New York City.
Wait, what? That's way too long. Just in New York City?
It spread to other cities, but that's the time frame of when it started and when it was finally allowed back into society.
Okay. So that's why Giuliani got so popular is because he reinstituted pinball in New York City, right? So 1940s, I would only know federal people. It was like FDR in the 40s, right? So
He was the World War II president.
Which when did World War II happen, Peter?
No, that's what I mean. Is like because he had three terms, so he was the one in the 40s exactly.
Three or four terms, yeah.
He had three.
Yeah, here, I'll plow ahead, and I'll give the timeline, and we will hit the president eventually. I'm trying to look so I can skip ahead, but I forget which one.
Oh, I was Jamie pulling up the clip. I didn't know if you had it. Sorry.
Oh, I have a whole bunch on it. So ever since pinball came of age during the Great Depression with the production of the first coin-operated machines in 1931, it had been viewed by many as a menace to society. Before the advent of flippers in 1947, it was considered gambling. Players gambled on...
it was immoral, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. The Puritan.
They would, like, pull the spring back, and operators would hand out prizes from playing again a free game or gum, all the way up to jewelry and chinaware.
So this is the thing that is so funny. It's just, like, with every single thing, like, with every innovation, there is a hall monitor is born. Like, they invent coins in whatever fucking... like in Syria, like 2100 years ago, and one guy flips it, and then someone, all of it, like some moral busybody, gets mad about that. Like every single, it's
video games cause violence.
The yin to the yang. Like the fun comes with a hall monitor.
It's
like,
before he even flipped. It's before he even flipped the coin, Peter. It was, they invented coins. Somebody was like, "Well, what if they use this to pay for illicit things?"
Of course, yeah.
You don't understand. I'm always thinking terrible thoughts, and I gotta assume other people are as well.
Yeah, Helen Lovejoy is eternal, basically.
Back in the Great Depression, churches and school boards argued that it corrupted the morals of America's youth by encouraging them to steal coins, skip school in order to play, and even go hungry by wasting their money on pinball.
That's a depression. That's a fair concern during the Depression, though.
Yeah. Our children should be throwing bowling balls in rooms full of crowded drunk men, not wasting their pennies at this pinball machine.
Also, they were most pinball machines were manufactured in Chicago, which is a hotbed of organized crime during the Great Depression.
Yeah,
sure is.
So
Al Capone, before he went on to fucking whiskey barrels, smuggling pinball, like disassembled
just
pinball
springs.
Machines.
It's like non-regulation tension springs.
Yeah.
Got the FBI shooting up barrels of springs in the street, they're drained into the sewers.
Yeah, just a big, just taking an axe to pinball machine with like this woman's boot up on it, right?
Yep. Pinball was even linked to the notorious Murder Inc. gang in New York City. Or
great
in Chicago, sorry.
Branding. It's on brand, right?
Like, yeah. New York City Mayor Fiorello LaGuardia was among those who believed that...
LaGuardia, like LaGuardia Airport.
Oh.
Is that an airport?
Yeah, in New York.
Named after him, I guess.
Yeah. I was going to say Fiorello LaGuardia sounds very corrupt, but I'm just being racist.
He was among those that believed that pinball bred crime and juvenile delinquency.
That's like, this is like so Fiorello LaGuardia not wanting to take on real criminals. So it's just like, I'm protecting us from the real problem here. Game.
Well, no, of course.
Yep.
Like, again, that's the eternal hall monitor. It's just like now.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. Right? Like now they tell you, citizen, to turn off your air conditioner during the summer because it consumes too much power, while another like oil drilling facility just like collapses into the Gulf of Mexico. You're right, it's my fault.
Another oil refining plant fell off a cliff, better sacrifice some indigenous people to get a new one, huh?
Yeah, exactly. And they're gonna tell you not to play pinball.
What
is your fault?
Wait a second, did you see that guy? He had a plastic straw. What a monster.
Yeah, he is.
What the fuck? What is wrong with these people, huh?
Yeah. The mayor said that pinball industry took in millions of dollars a year from the pockets of school children in the form of nickels and dimes given to them as lunch money. And after cracking down on illegal slot machines, LaGuardia made prohibition of the insidious nickel stealers the target of his next crusade.
Oh, my God. See, this is what I mean. Like, he's not... He's just like virtue signaling, right? Because he knows it's going to secure him votes. Where
it's
like
that version of it, exactly.
Yeah. The Helen Lovejoys will vote for me if I promise to abolish this made-up problem.
Yep.
Yeah.
After the Japanese bombing of Pearl Harbor, the mayor and other anti-pinball folks decided pinball was going against the country of USA.
You know, at one point it was called Japanese billiards, huh?
Yeah.
Not fucking around here.
Every one of them zeros up there, every one of them kamikaze zeros in the air right now has got a pinball table inside of it.
Yeah, that's it. That's what that way when it drives into the side of the boat, all those springs go off and shoot ball bearings in every direction.
Yeah, yep. You've got the suicide bomber just like strap with springs. I'll do it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Runs out of ammo, pulls out a quarter, slots it into his into the dashboard of his cockpit.
Yeah, there's a quarter-shaped slot in front of right in front of the stick.
So pinball was seen as a waste of materials and time while America was at war. Copper, aluminum, and nickel were used to make pinball machines, and LaGuardia believed it was, quote, infinitely preferable that the metal in these evil contraptions be manufactured into arms and bullets, which could be used to destroy our foreign enemies.
Look, this is World War II, and he is making a point that, yes, these resources would absolutely be better spent killing Nazis, but the fact that he referred to pinball machines as evil in that statement makes me really disregard his opinion on the whole thing. These evil contraptions, like, oh, you mean like the Nazi war machine? Like, well, no, pinball. Like,
yeah.
Mr. LaGuardia, you may be missing the point of this war.
Yeah. Like, okay, we've got on our side all the nickel and copper that each individual pinball machine can yield. On the German side, the Panzer.
Yeah, exactly.
They've got the Luftwaffe and Panzers and the Blitzkrieg, okay? But we've got springs. So exactly. I like our odds, okay?
I really like this next part. In January 21, okay, I'll post a photo with it too. try not to, it's going to be a couple sentences away, so let me get there, but.
Okay. I'm not looking.
Oh, don't ruin the surprise.
Tell me when to look. I've got my hands over my eyes and my thumbs in my ears.
So. Okay, yeah. Just let me get there before we dive into the photo. Okay, so in January 21st, 1942, police raided candy stores, bowling alleys, bars, and amusement centers. They confiscated 2,000 machines, which is about one-fifth of all games in this city. And LaGuardia and other police chiefs assembled the press and smashed pinball machines to bits with sledgehammers.
Okay, you know
why was our joke history?
you know what's a better use? You know what's like more valuable resources for the war effort? All these fucking men. Ship them off, Mr. LaGuardia. Go to the front. What the fuck are you doing? Wasting everybody's time and taxpayer money on.
Dude,
this picture I described fucking 10 minutes ago because I thought it was would be the stupidest thing on the planet.
Oh my god.
It's a real thing that occurred.
I wrote it down as an artwork idea, but it's like, that's not going to work now because it's been done.
It's just a photo.
It's been done.
It's just real.
God damn you, history.
And according to LaGuardia, contraband pinballs had enough metal to build four 2,000-pound aerial bombs. So they melted down all the pinballs.
It's not even that much. Like, have you seen pictures of those planes dropping bombs? They drop like 60. We got four?
I love the guy who's collecting all the pinballs and putting them together to make bombs.
I'm sending these ones to the Kaiser. Like, what the fuck?
So, this trend of banning pinball carried over to Milwaukee, Chicago, New Orleans, Los Angeles. And pinball became a part of the counterculture, like a leather jacket or a greaser haircut. It was badass to play pinball back then.
So you've got, like, greasers with, you know, like, switch springs in their pocket, which is just, like, a spring-loaded spring that they pop out and threaten people with.
Yes.
Yeah, like, quick, like waggle back and forth when it comes out. Like that thing behind a door.
Whenever you hear, like, the sound of two pinballs, like, rolling together in someone's hand in a dark alley, you get scared. So it's you're a badass if you play pinball at this point in the world.
Yeah, we got a real tilter on our hands. What, you know why they call me paddles? Because I hit like a paddle.
Yeah, just like some flapping his little hands in front of his face.
Whipping like limp-wristed, like just like open palm.
tell me more. Does he have a high score?
So pinball had a bad reputation for many years, even after adding the skill-based flipper.
You got the greasy comb too, just like, but it's just a spring. It's just a spring.
It would work, I guess. Might get a little tangled.
It'd probably be quite tangled.
Yeah. So during the 1960 presidential election, Republicans tried to smear Democratic candidate John F. Kennedy by releasing a group photograph that included him with a silent partner in an Indiana pinball operation.
Oh, it would be JFK. That's why the CIA fucking took him out, is because he was pinball high score.
Him smoking a bowl out of a pinball machine, like they just gutted it, so it's like a giant pipe.
Just raw dogging Marilyn Monroe over a pinball machine.
So pinball finally did become acceptable in the 1970s, but there's a bunch of skeptical counselors and legislators that still believed that it was a game of chance.
Well, it would be after JFK was assassinated for being a pinball head, which I guess, or a pinball wizard, whatever they call him, right? So the CIA took him out. They realize they've gone too far, and now they need to, it's another just like media psyop to allow pinball back into the mainstream, right?
Yeah.
Wait, when you rearrange the letters in Lee Harvey Oswald, you get David Gottlieb.
I really like how they handled this, though. Like, the legislators not believing them that it's a game of skill.
No, I'm just thinking it's just the assassination where it's just, you got, like, the magic pinball bearing where it's, like, not deformed whatsoever, so it could never have passed through a human body or whatever.
Yeah. He was Manchurian candidated into doing it. Like, he invented the pinball machine. They're like, nobody would ever suspect him on the grassy knoll.
There must have been a second spring loader.
Yeah,
so I love the way that they brought pinball to become legal. It really feels like a scene out of a movie. The Amusement and Music Operators Association recruited one of the top players in the country. He's a writer as well, Roger Sharp. To have
another good name.
Yeah, I know, so many good names. Then he was going to have a demonstration on a machine set up in a Manhattan courtroom where the city council met.
Oh, shit.
Was the machine on trial?
No, pinball was on trial, but he brought the machine to show that pinball is a game of skill.
It's like a bunch of guys hauling them in. It's just like, there we go, 100,000 pinball machines all addressed to Santa Claus. Just like dumping in the middle of the court.
The judge just like banging his gavel sets off the tilt machine. The tilt
So all the elected officials and media members crowded around a glass top pinball machine. And Roger Sharp told them, just like Babe Ruth's called shot whenever he like pointed out to the outfield and like knocked it out there. But Roger Sharp said, if I pull the spring back just enough, I can manipulate which lane it goes down. And he called the lane and he pulled it back and it went down exactly which lane that he wanted it to.
This reminds me of a scene from like every single movie about British, like British academic science from the 1800s, where there's like always one maverick who was just like, no, I'm telling you, rain falls down. And like every old man with a beard in Oxford is like, bah, pish posh. It's just like this guy basically explaining how a spring works to a courtroom. Everybody just being like, what?
And the shot, like with the slow motion, dum dum ba dum 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 dum, just like went like through and just right down the right lane.
The crowd lifts him and the pinball machine onto their shoulders as they play out of the courtroom.
Write that down. I swear to God, if we find a black and white picture of that happening, I'm gonna fucking kill myself. But you write that one down.
In game.
Yeah. black and white photo.
And then with that precision shot from a skilled pinball player, the council overturned the ban. But there was kind of like a win-win.
This is like if like a battle of the bands actually somehow saved someone's life one day. Like what the hell?
It all worked.
And why is this so wacky? How is this real?
I know, dude. That I was like, pinball, is it going to be like a good episode? And then I read about the prohibition and I was like, this seems made up. This is crazy.
This is wacky.
Yeah. So they did overturn the ban, but I think there was also a little bit of self-interest going on because the city would earn $1.5 million since they would put a $50 license fee on each pinball machine in New York. So pinball was back.
Well, instead of banning it, we can just regulate it. Wow, I can't believe we made money. Jesus.
Capitalism, baby.
Yeah.
Everybody's got to get their slice. Yeah.
Money made for the government, and all was right in the world. We can go down and play Space Cadet at our local bar now.
My bar still has a Windows XP computer in the corner.
We're in Canada. We're like four operating systems behind the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, that was pinball lore, boys. That was really fun to look up. And I know real world's not always our thing, but I think that was a great one.
I can't fucking believe any of that, frankly.
Yeah, it's
unreal.
It's fantastic. 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 Good lore. I was tilted. I'm not now. I'm back in the sweet spot with my, junk pressed firmly up against the machine, my middle fingers on the little buttons, just gently pressing them.
Give her a nudge, but not a tilt.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. This has been the Lore Boys podcast. If you like the show, leave us a review. If you've already left us a review, tell your friends. If you already told your friends, then a big smooch for you, my friend. Means the world to us that you guys are taking time out of your day, no matter how small it might be, to leave us friendly messages and help spread the word of the show. You guys are amazing. Peter, is there anything that you'd like to say and or add?
Big old thank you to everybody. Big old thank you to all of our patrons who, like I said, I will hopefully start setting up a credits segment for post everything. Yeah, check out at Lore Boys Podcast on Instagram if you want to check out the title cards or message us. I still get a lot of DMs on Instagram. The best place to be is loreboys.com/about because that's how you can get into the Discord where we actually live. It's where we have been eternally imprisoned to send pictures of bags of Sprite to all of you. and yeah, that's it for me. Or of course, again, you can reach out to us directly. We're always putting stuff together for another mailbag episode. And yeah, thank you.
And Jamie, anything that you'd like to say and or add?
Yeah, get in the Discord. I chat with folks in the Discord literally every day. There's like 300 plus members now. It's growing all the time.
That's really?
Jesus. Yeah. We've got old friends, new friends, and it's honestly like a super chill place to hang out. There's community nights. There's people just like I bought a new TV. I was asking for advice on that. And there's a lot of people. There's fitness stuff. Like there's just like a lot of like-minded folks in there. And if you like the show, you'll definitely like the community. So get in there.
Yeah. It's old friends, new friends, and what could be you friends. If you want to support the show financially and not just to get in touch with us, you can go to patreon.com/thelorboys. That's where
actually I just want to on that one, like I said at the top of the show when we did the shout out, if you're already a patron, review your benefits and please, like, the only one that we need to send out is the behind the scenes stuff, but if you are entitled to shout outs, fucking use it, man. Like, you paid for it, so it's just whenever you want.
Yeah, and Sketchy Jesus, I'd have loved to have done Sketchy Jesus and Sketchy Jesus's fiance Jasmine. I would have loved to have done a episode on the Feywild today for your anniversary, but little not enough lead up time for me.
Be a lesson to you. Propose a week earlier.
Yeah, exactly. I will be. I'll put it in the. It's in the bank, and I'll try and get it out to you guys soon. Anybody who wants to support the show and doesn't quite trust Patreon, as a lot of people do, we need a lot of help. Obviously, we are putting on a prohibition for a few different things, some of our least favorite things over here at the Lore Boys. Personally, I'm trying to get Pete prohibited. Just generally, I want old to middle-aged men to walk into places where Pete is and start hitting him with big hammers while posing for photos. I need your support to do that. So make sure to send your fingers to us. We need them to sell to pinball companies to make the paddles with. Little known fact about those paddles is each is made with a child to young adult's finger bones inside them in case you need one. So
no wonder they prohibited it. That would be a lot more sinister.
Exactly.
Make sure to send those over. And we'll try and get Pete prohibited. I don't know if the other guys have anything that they wanted prohibited, any kind of prohibitions that they have.
I was going to change my name post prohibition and then use myself as an illicit product, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Hey, that makes sense.
I think it was
he uses himself as an illicit product every night, if you know what I mean.
Hey. I think it was all those kids who were trying to get their pennies back during the Great Depression and sticking their fingers into the slot.
Yeah,
and that's exactly. Where they harvested most of the fingers. So.
Yeah. It's like the real like hardline arcade owners would like install like a cigarette cutter in there or whatever.
Well, it's the Bagatelle French people who put a guillotine
exactly.
In there.
Yeah, exactly.
By Louis XVI, add a little guillotine. And I think that would constitute a Lore Boys.
Lore Boys.
Out.
My name is James, and my favorite thing to crank is a flashlight to make sure that it works whenever the power goes out.
My name's Ethan. My favorite thing to flash the light on is the shame of Peter's cranking habits.
Yeah, my name's Peter. No bones about it. The mysterious stranger left-handed trick for me was because I would crank it while playing XCOM 2 with a mouse only.
Oh, man.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.